I extol those who with loving care and compassionate concern feed the hungry, clothe the naked, and house the homeless. He who notes the sparrows fall will not be unmindful of such service.
The Mormon Channel now presents Faith in Action. Welcome to Faith in Action on the Mormon Channel, a show about welfare, humanitarian aid, and service around the world. Today we welcome a special guest, Brother McLean Bybee, who is the Managing Director of LDS Philanthropies. Welcome, Brother Bybee.
Thank you.
We were just talking about saying philanthropies 3, 4, 5 times, and you had a story about
President Hinckley.
President Hinckley, yes.
Well, it was President Hinckley who gave us the name.
Mm-hmm.
We were looking for a name that would try as best we could to communicate to people what we did. We came up with a lot of names, and one day he just said, "You'll be called LDS Philanthropies Department." And we said, And he said, "Well, if you say it 7 times, you'll get it down, and then it'll be in your mind forever."
Okay. Philanthropies. I won't say it 7 times, but I got it.
Okay. But a nice marketing tool.
It is. I would suspect, Brother Bybee, that out of all of the departments of the church, we as lay members know probably the least about this department.
You're absolutely right.
I started doing some research, it was like, wow, I didn't know he did that, and I didn't know that happened. And tell us a little bit about the history of this department.
It actually began in 1972. Between 1972 and 1973, the first presidency under President Harold B. Lee really were looking at the fact that there were a number of, let's call them, fundraising organizations in the church, the predecessor to the Family History Department, the Missionary Department, and others, BYU, that were going out and asking wealthy members of the church for funds. Some of them didn't really complain, but they contacted the first presidency and said, "What would you really like us to do? I had 5 of these people on my doorstep in 1 week. I'm not that rich, but I'd like to give. Please have this correlated." And so they created what was then called the Church Development Office. We then reported to, because most of the work that we did was for the universities, we reported to the Commissioner of Education, who at that time was Elder Neil Maxwell. That was before he became a general authority. And as time has passed, we've, of course, not only focused on the church or on the schools, but we've now branched out and cover everything that the church does and its affiliated charities as far as helping, as you stated earlier, in ways to bless people's lives. We changed the name to LDS Philanthropies just about 6 years ago. And so that's the genesis, and also a little about the history of what we do.
How about a little background of your career? How long have you been with working with the church?
Well, it's really interesting. Prior to coming to work for the church in 1974, in 1973 was when they made, the first presidency made the announcement to the church they were creating this department. In 1974, I was in a bishopric in Las Vegas, Nevada. I was working in the hotel and industry. And the bishop one day said, I was his counselor, and he said, "You know a lot of people. The church is looking for someone to work for the Church Development Office." And immediately, I don't know about you, Bob, but I thought, development, I guess that has to do with real estate.
Or I'm going to buy ground and build churches, perhaps.
Exactly.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And I said, "Well, who are they?" And he told me, and I said, "Well, maybe I can help them by giving them some referrals." As I sat and listened to them, though, I suddenly realized that many, many years ago, I had a patriarchal blessing. And in that blessing was a line and a phrase that I could never figure out. And it just hit me. It really hit me. So 2 or 3 months passed. I gave them a lot of names. My wife and I came to General Conference, and I stopped at the office just to see whether or not they had found someone. And they said they hadn't, and kind of hinted, and my wife listened to them. We went out and got in the cars. We got on I-15. My wife looked over at me and said, "Well, do you have a choice?" And I said, "What do you mean?" And she said, "Your blessing." And I said, I guess not. She said, well, what are we going to do? And I said, well, I guess we'll leave our employment. So we left our employment. We sold our cars. We downsized in our home. We learned to live on one-third of what we were originally making. And we've had a great, great, great career.
When the blessings began.
As well as tests.
Oh, okay. What is an average day for you? You get to work. What kind of obstacles are there? What kind of blessings are there? What happens in a normal day?
Well, I think it depends on where a person works in the LDS Philanthropies Department. But in I would say overall and overarching, maybe my son speaking to his teacher as a very young boy in elementary best described it. His teacher was having each of the students stand and say what their fathers did. It came to my son, and this was the teacher reporting to us. He stood, and he said, you know, I really don't know exactly what my father does. I know he gets up in the morning, and after we're off ready for school, he puts on a white shirt and a tie, and he goes into an office in the front part of our house, and I think he just helps people all day long. Bob, that's really what we do. I think my day, except for things that probably don't matter, I spend most of my time helping people.
I think of, as I was thinking about that the last couple of days, we were going to do this interview, what would I think that this department would do? I'm thinking of perhaps someone donating ground for a chapel or someone donating ground for the new temple. And then I thought, well, then there's the universities. But it's so much broader than that. It has so many more legs than that.
In fact, on our letterhead, wherever we use just our letterhead and not the church's letterhead, we'll have a logo that you'll see on the website, and which you can find on LDS.org. But underneath that logo, it says Changing and Saving Lives. Now, we chose that because we're not just about helping people who are less fortunate. For example, the emergency response in Haiti, our team worked very closely with welfare and humanitarian services and LDS charities, but we would interface with businesses that would donate tents, tarps, all kinds of things, generators. We also worked with people who wanted to give donations, from very, very large donations to donations of only a few dollars on our website, etc. So we're not only helping recipients, but we're also helping donors. There are so many times that we'll hear people that will call us and say, I've been thinking about doing the following. Does the church accept money for things like this? And then we'll help them.
So a donor could have a specific place they want this to go, and you guarantee that that's going to happen.
Yes. In fact, if it's within that umbrella of things that the First Presidency and the leading councils of the church have decided that they want to support with philanthropic dollars, these are dollars other than tithing dollars, they may direct it towards one of those types of activities that we do, either a program or a project. But if the church were approached and someone said, we'll give you $1 billion to create a hospital, the church may say, you know, we made a choice about hospitals a long time ago, and we're not doing that. But we have some other things that we're doing. Would you be interested in any of those? But we're pretty forthright in saying whether or not we'll accept the gift. And then we also give the guarantee that 100% of their gift goes to what they want to support, because we're all salaried employees of the church. So we meet with them confidentially. Their names won't even be known if that's the way they would choose to have it. And 100% of whatever they give goes to the program.
You're listening to Faith in Action on the Mormon Channel. Today we're visiting with Brother McLean Bybee, who is the director of LDS Philanthropies. It's nice to have you here. There are so many questions that I have. There are so many ways to give. There's financial, there's actual hard cash, there is real estate, there is estates. Tell us a little bit about that.
I think, thank you, Bob. That's a great question. I think really it's about the heart. It's not about how much it is or even the form of the gift, but yet you're absolutely right. I think most members of the church and most people think of giving by writing out a check or taking money out of their pocket and giving cash. That's only one form of giving. They can, many members give with securities, maybe stocks that they've purchased some time ago and they've appreciated in value. We can help them and for the timing of the gift so that they'll take the best tax deduction they can get if they're eligible for a tax deduction. In-kind gifts, someone may own a business and be able to give us generators for emergency response. Someone may have a piece of land, and they're looking for a piece of land in that area, and the stake presidency says, we'd sure love to have that corner piece. And Bob Hendricks and his wife own it, and we might say, Bob, would you like to give that? And you say, well, you know, I would, but that's kind of my nest egg for the future. Well, Bob, we can show you how you can put this into a trust. The church will buy it out of the trust, and you and your wife will receive the income from the trust for as long as the trust lasts. And so in a way, you've made a gift to the church. The church has been able to buy the property. You've avoided the taxes on the sale of the property, and you and your wife get the income from the trust.
So it's not always then a direct donation. The church will buy the property and mm-hmm. pay you for it, but pay you in a way that you're protected for the rest of your life.
We've had a lot of people who are farmers here in the Intermountain West whose children have all received educations, moved away. They don't want to have the farm anymore. So mom and dad finally come to that point in time where they may take the farm and place it into one of these specialized type trusts that we help them with. And work with their attorneys, work with their financial planners, and of course our services are free. We can't be their attorney, but we can help their attorney. They fund one of these trusts. The trust sells the asset. Mom and dad go on missions, and they have a nice income coming from their mission. And they can give away some of the income and bless their children with that. Or there's a number of things. If a person has it in their heart to give, I have the staff that can help them.
Let's talk about that staff. Large staff, licensed, I would imagine, in some ways.
In some ways they are. There are some national accreditation that come with it, and we try to get our staff to receive those professional accreditations. We have 119 people that work in our department. Now, they're spread between the Church Central here, BYU Hawaii, BYU Idaho, and BYU. Now, we have one person here at the church campus that goes across the street and helps LDS Business College. But that includes all of our secretaries. That includes our professionals. That includes our support staff. If you were to compare this with another organization, we historically have raised about the same amount of money as maybe the University of Michigan, and they have 400 on their staff. We have 119. I keep asking sometimes for more, and the bishopric says I don't need it because I have someone who's helping me mm-hmm. that's worth the other 300. That's the Lord.
Yes. What about let's go back to Haiti in just a moment, or to Chile. A disaster like that happens. Does the phone ring and perhaps Bishop Burton or someone calls and says, we need something. Can you find us something? You roll up your sleeves and part of that staff goes to work to find those things?
We actually, yes, it's very similar to that. In fact, let's take both Haiti and Chile.
Okay.
As soon as that happened and it was on the news, we knew about it. The Church Welfare Department knew about it, the Missionary Department, the Ecclesiastical Departments. Our department immediately then goes into action in one way, and that is we come up onto the website, the LDS.org website. We have then the opportunity right there to provide and facilitate people who would like to make a gift. Some people, this happens on a Tuesday morning or a Monday, and they say, oh, I'd like to make a gift, but I have to wait until Sunday. No. They can go online right now and make that gift. They don't have to wait. Then we work with the priesthood leaders, And they're the ones who give us instructions of the kinds of things they can get, they need, other than cash. For example, when Katrina came, cash wasn't the issue, but because here in the United States we could ship things quickly to the Gulf states, they asked for gifts in kind. So we immediately went to various companies. Many of them are not even church-affiliated as far as their owners being LDS, Johnson & Johnson, etc. Some of the big pharmaceutical companies, Merck and others, and we would ask them if they would support and give. And the fascinating thing, Bob, is that these companies trust the church. And they know that if the church asks for something, it will be delivered, that there are missionaries, church service missionaries, on the ground. It won't be pilfered. It won't run off to a warehouse. It'll get to people. And the trust level is really high.
So your job gets a little intense when these major disasters strike.
24/7.
Isn't that interesting? So you would never think about that aspect of your department or that job.
And it's surprising how many people, both members of the church, on our online donations, we'll get little comments. One person said, I used to always help, and I won't name the charity, but I've no longer decided to help them because I'm not sure my money gets there. I'm not a member of your church, but I'm sure my money will get to the people. And they'll actually write those comments on the gifts online.
How about around the world in assistance programs? What are you involved in there?
Well, where the church has chosen, at least at the moment, under humanitarian services, some major initiatives. The first one is emergency response, and that's to be able to do the kinds of things you and I just spoke about. They also have four or five others. Water, clean water. They're drilling wells in Africa, in Asia, in South America, etc., where they're providing water for villages and for millions of people, really, every year. I think Bishop Burton spoke to this about, 2 years ago in a conference talk. Wheelchairs, to provide mobility to people who now can go out and work. Some of these people have never been beyond the corner of the street where they were born because they couldn't be carried or whatever. Neonatal, to train doctors and nurses and other healthcare people just with the simple knowledge of being able to aspirate a newborn child, where in some of these countries, 3-4 out of 5 die because of congestion when they're born, and just to show them how to do that, to save all those babies. Measles, the inoculation of children. The church went in with others and inoculated all LDS children under the age of 18 in Guatemala 2 years ago, plus several others. They inoculate at $1 a shot. So we had donors, one donor that gave us $1 million. That donor and his wife inoculated 1 million children in Guatemala.
Not a penny of that was lost anywhere.
Not a penny.
Didn't drip over here. No. Didn't fall over there. No. It all went to the project.
And then the final one is cataracts. Again, teaching healthcare people in other countries like Mongolia just the simple techniques of how to remove cataracts and change the lives of middle-aged people and older people who couldn't do anything because they couldn't see.
We haven't talked about education yet, about our major universities and education of people around the world as well.
The Perpetual Education Fund. Yes, we work with that as well. Because I remember when we were first created, President Tanner came and spoke to us, and he said the first presidency had used two scriptures to be the foundational reasons for creating this department in the church. The one is found in the 42nd section of the Doctrine and Covenants, verse 39. The other one is found in the 52nd section of the Doctrine and Covenants, verse 40. And sort of paraphrasing, the 42nd section said, I will consecrate of the riches of those who embrace my gospel from among the Gentiles unto the house of Israel, and will fulfill all of the words of my prophets. And then in the 52nd section, he says, and remember in all things the poor and the needy, the sick and the afflicted, and he that doeth not these things, the same is not my disciple. And President Tanner said to us, don't get caught up thinking you know what the definition of those words are. The Lord, he said, uses them in tandem, rich, poor, poor and needy, sick and afflicted. He said, the inability to read or write is an affliction. And so when we come to education, if someone is comes back from their mission in one of these third world countries, they come back to the poverty they've always known. There's no way out. And the inspiration that President Hinckley and others received in creating the Perpetual Education Fund, there's now an avenue to get out, to get a trade, to be able to weld. Maybe they could never weld, but now they can have their own little welding shop. I know one story, and if you have a moment, I'll share
all
it
with the time
you.
In the world. Yes,
great story that took place in the Philippines. One young man went through the program, and he was walking down the street one day and noticed that someone was trying to fix their cell phone. And they said, my cell phone's broken. And this young man was just had a little techie in him. And he said, well, let me take that thing. He said, I think I can fix that. So he found some parts, fixed the cell phone, and gave it back to the fellow. And the thought came to his head, I wonder if I could build a little kiosk. And I would just be here on the street, and I'd go get old broken cell phones, and I would salvage them and put the pieces in boxes. And if people came along and needed something for their cell phone, I'd fix it. I'm trying to remember the name of the stores now, but he has stores all over the Philippines that repair cell phones, not little kiosks, stores, walk-in stores. This is a young man who never went to college. This is a young man who served a mission, saw a vision, was helped by the Perpetual Education Fund, learned a few things about how you handle money, and he was off and running. It's changed his life. He's now serving as a priesthood leader. He has time to serve as a priesthood leader. He's blessing others' lives.
So once again, as you're donating, you can designate to the Perpetual Education
Fund.
You can. Or you can designate to BYU or BYU Idaho or wherever, again,
right.
That you feel is important.
And right now, with everything as the economy is here in the United States, the main focus at the four church schools is really student aid. Many of these students are coming from families that, sadly, Dad and Mom are unemployed. Their lifestyles have totally changed. And some of these kids, even though they may get a part-time job, that's still not going to help them get clear through school. And so student aid is what we're really looking at for the four church schools here in America.
Isn't that amazing? You know, think about that aspect again. So as you're going out, help these students who are trying to help themselves by helping with tuition, helping with living expenses or whatever, donate to a specific school, or is there just a fund for that?
Both. There's a general fund of each of the schools, and then again, someone may say, you know, my mother was an educator, an elementary school teacher all of her life. I would like to give to BYU Idaho in their education department and put a scholarship there in my mother's name and to help other educators, you know, young people coming up to become educators. So we can be very specific or we can be very broad. Now, being very broad really helps, though, the administrators and others take care of needs as they arrive because needs constantly change. I'm thinking of someone who once made a gift to a specific activity at BYU. Now, that was 30 years ago, almost 40 years ago. Education has changed. We've had to go back to the family or even to the heirs of the family and say, would you be all right if we were to expand the use of this money? Because right now, it's not being used. It's just being it's in an account earning money.
So there's a yearly or a semi-annual accounting or whatever. The donor receives some paperwork information on where that money's going.
Any donor who has established what is known as an endowment, mm-hmm. We send them a report on that endowment every year, and we'll report, as the law will allow us, how many students were helped or where the money went. For example, a gift to the missionary department. We'll try to respond back to the donors to say this year, there were 20,000 missionaries that were international missionaries who were helped by this fund that you gave to.
And this fund might be in memoriam of someone.
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Tell us a little bit about that. How is that?
Well, there are people who would like to honor their own parents or their ancestors. Or in one case that I worked on many years ago, a young man was with his family at Lake Powell and had a tragic accident, didn't get to serve a mission, in mortality, but he died. Killed in this tragic accident. His parents came back and said, "We would like to memorialize his life. This is the kind of young man he was. These are the things that he liked." And they found something at BYU that was in that educational field that he had interest, and they created an endowed scholarship. And so as long as BYU lives and we don't mismanage any money, that will be there in memorial for that son.
You're listening to Faith in Action on the Mormon Channel. Today we're visiting with Brother McLean Bybee, who is the Managing Director of LDS Philanthropies. At the beginning of the day, I think it was your child that said you put on a white shirt and a tie and went into an office and helped people. At the end of that day, how do you feel? It's got to feel good.
Bob, in reality, sometimes we're cursed working for this department because there is no end of the day. We really work 7 days a week, and we're there to serve people. And sometimes they don't meet with us at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. They have to meet with us at 8 o'clock at night. And we go to their homes, and in the privacy of their homes or in a confidential way, we work with them. And I think it's so unbelievably fulfilling. I kind of think in my mind, I look for the day when the Lord will personally express gratitude to those who helped. And I thrill that I might just be privileged to be someplace in the hall, 4 or 5 rows back, not seen by anyone, but to be able to look out past the heads of the audience and see that couple receive that expression of gratitude from the Lord, and I just get filled inside. And so do those I work with. They all express the same thing. They all express that they're really feeling like they're helping to build the kingdom of God here on the earth.
You have a testimony of this work, I'm sure.
I do. I really do. I have seen it, as I said earlier, changing and saving lives, not just the recipients. The greatest changing, though, that takes place is in the life of the donor.
We don't think about that, do we? We think about where the ultimate end of this money or this land or this whatever it was that we gave. But it is here. It's with us.
One donor one day who's been very, very generous and anonymous and has helped with the measles program, he and his wife were sitting here at the church headquarters, and I said to them, "Take just a moment. Why do you give? Why are you so generous?" And without a thought almost, he said, "I give because of doctrine and my personal covenants." And I thought, wow. He had read the scriptures, and the scriptures, you know, the Book of Mormon, the Doctrine and Covenants, even the New Testament, the Old Testament are replete with all kinds of admonitions from the Lord to be generous. And I thought, that's the doctrine. And then he had made personal covenants. All we did was facilitate him. I didn't go out and twist an arm or anything else. I just asked him if we could help him. And he said yes, because I don't know how to do some of these things. And all we did was just help.
It's an amazing story. We have welcomed a special guest today. Brother McLean Bybee, thank you so much for being here. Where do I go? How do I find out more information about your organization? How can I help?
Just go to lds.org, and underneath About the Church, you'll see Giving to the Church, and there's a website, and you can read all about the various programs the church is doing right now and get up-to-date information about them and how we might come and help you.
Now, it doesn't have to be a great sum of money.
Not at all. No. In fact, let me just be quick and tell you the story of an Argentinian that I had in my office just a month ago. He's with the church in Argentina, the area office. And as he learned about some of the things that were happening in Haiti, I noticed that his eye watered up. And he said to me, "Why have we not been invited to help?" And I looked at him and suddenly realized that we were focusing most of our awareness and our facilitating on the U.S. and Canada. And then I noticed on our online program that we had 70 nations around the world that had members of the church from those nations had contributed. And so this coming year, we're going to focus on being able to take the peso, to take just the UN. We're going to be able to let anyone who wants to give be able to give no matter where they live in the world.
Now, the fast offerings every week, that's all part of this, is it not?
It is. Mm-hmm. Now, we don't get involved with the fast offerings because that's something that's done in the local unit.
Right.
And if someone has maybe a very, very large gift, and we have had some of those, they don't want to give it to the local unit. Mm-hmm. And so sometimes they'll contact us and we'll facilitate it.
I see.
But we really focus on all the offerings that are on the tithe and donation slip, other than tithing and fast offering. All the rest of those, you can either give at the local unit, you can give online, or you can call us and we'll help you give, and in all the various forms of giving, not just cash.
It's amazing. Thank you for your service. Thank you for coming here today.
Thanks for the invitation.
And all of the 190-plus people that are working every day.
119.
Oh, okay. All the 119 people who are out there helping to make sure that all this aid is given around the world. We appreciate it. Thank you, Brother Bybee.
Thank you.